All right, let's just get this show on the road. It's the news, according to me. Well, that intro music was a little louder than normal. Pretty sure. Not sure what that was all about. I've been monkeying around here this morning, just wasting time. Time to get the show going. It is Thursday, June 6th. The week is almost over. We are almost approaching the middle of the month, which is pretty much the month is over. The year is pretty much done. So there you go. I have, like to say, we're in the sixth month, which is, you know, halfway point, which is, you know, we're half over this year already. It's 7:01 a.m. Thursday, June 6th, 2024. I am not Joe Biden, despite the fact that I'm stumbling over my words this morning. Lots of things have been going on. Congress has been grilling a lot of people. Garland, Ray, Fauci. It's all been going on in the last couple of weeks, and I don't know what that's all about. I assume it's election year, so they have to call these people to account all of a sudden, call them before Congress and chew them out and then let them go back to what they were doing. No consequences.
But no one is above the law. No one's above the law.
Senator Kennedy was recently interviewing Christopher Wray, and it is a masterful chess game between the two. Christopher Wray being able to deflect. I call him Deflector Wray. It's my new word for him, Deflector Wray. Because of his ability to deflect on so many things. And I would like to play this. Maybe I can play this interaction with Deflector Wray and Mr. Kennedy. Let's see if I can find it. It's my computer's going slow. I have to keep that one. So let's just go here. Yeah, this will work. The interesting part of this interview is how good what happened to it? There it is. How good Deflector Wray is at deflecting. Kennedy asked him, and Kennedy's no slouch when it comes to grilling people. He's very good. He's a very sharp person. He comes across like he's just this, you know, country bumpkin. But he's incredibly intelligent, and he will dance circles usually around anybody he's trying to ask questions of. Because he knows, like a good lawyer, he knows the answers to his questions before he asks them. He can pin you in a corner pretty quickly. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not any kind of physician or counselor. I'm not a financial advisor. But boy, do I have a lot of opinions you can get yourself into trouble listening to. I have this interview. I'm just going to pull this up because it is quite fascinating, and it's worth listening to. And I've got this set on 1.25 times speed because I don't like wasting your time. But we're going to jump right into this, much like we're going to jump right into my cup. That's definitely chai with Cinnabon Creamer. And of course, again, this morning I have my back. I was really tempted to use apple cider this morning because I had some yesterday. We got some fresh apple cider. And that's kind of my, I'd say it's up in the top three of my drinks that I like. There's sweet tea, there's chai. And then there's apple cider. I like chocolate milk, but it's not. I like hot chocolate. I have to be in the right mood for that. The other three I can drink anytime. Pretty much anytime with anything, with any kind of meal. Now, the chai, I don't necessarily, hot chai, I could drink iced chai. Sometimes with a meal. That kind of depends. It's just, but any time I can just drink that, especially after a meal. I like drinking something hot. Hot chai is nice after a meal. That's why I understand people who drink hot coffee after a meal. I always kind of thought that was kind of strange. Well, you want coffee now? Okay, well, yeah, okay. It kind of just always kind of seemed kind of strange to me, but I kind of figured it out. I don't know. I still don't like coffee, though. All right, so getting on with this. This is the interchange between the two. Now, this was this one point in here where he asks a question, and I want you to be very, very, see if you can pick this up. He asks the question, and Ray deflects off into a different topic. And I think it's important to understand how good he is at this, and how this is the common, constant answer we get from these people. This is how the administrative state, what I call the deep state, apparently there's some different definitions of the deep state, but this is the deep state within our country, within our institutions, within this country. So here we go. I'm going to play this a little bit. And
Mr. Director, welcome. I bet you just love talking about where to put the FBI building, don't you? Probably one of your favorite topics. I've got two questions. Number one, if you took the major Mexican drug cartels, which also traffic people into the United States, and turned them upside down and shook them, President Lopez Obrador would fall out of their pockets, wouldn't he?
Well, I don't know that I can comment on a specific individual's corruption other than through cases that we bring, but I understand the point that you're making for sure.
He's very smugly saying this. He knows. Now, my understanding is that there's a new president now that's been elected in Mexico. I'm not sure if that's, I believe it's a female. I don't know what her name is. I just heard a snippet about that this morning. But just as a side note, now, you have to understand, Ray has this smug kind of, I can't really answer that, but I'm going to answer it by saying that, I understand. But he's being very careful here because he could answer this question. This isn't a question about an investigation. It's not a question about an individual. This is a question about another leader outside the country who's doing all kinds of criminal activity within our border, across our borders, which the FBI has jurisdiction on. And he could ask them a question about this, and he could answer it, but he won't. He's trying to throw it into the lump sum thing of, well, I'm going to stay consistent here by not answering any questions. I don't know why they even bother calling this guy in front of him. It's just a waste of time. I don't believe I know that if I can tell you that or not. Like, catch the way he answers it. I'm not sure I can answer the question or not. So he's not saying he can't answer it. He's not saying he can. He's saying, I'm not sure. I don't know if I can or not.
Much cooperation out of Mexico, are we?
Let me put it this way. While we have had some successes here and there in terms of extraditions and so forth, and I appreciate those, and I'm grateful to our Mexican partners for those, especially at the working level, we need a whole lot more from Mexico than we've gotten in terms of shutting down the cartels and stopping the flow of the precursors. I mean, I could go on and on. So I'm grateful for the successes we have had, but we need a heck of a lot more is the way I would answer that.
Why don't we use leverage of what I call NAFTA 2 to try to encourage the president of Mexico to cooperate more?
Yeah, I mean, NAFTA, of course, is a trade agreement, and I'm not really an expert on trade relations. Certainly, from an FBI perspective, we welcome every tool in the toolbox to try to improve the relationship and the cooperation, and I'm hopeful that the Mexican government will see the value of building on the successes we have had and take it to the level that it needs to be, because it's not.
Now, this is a question that really FBI has nothing to do with. This is legislation. If he has an opinion on legislation, it really doesn't matter. And it's I can appreciate the FBI saying, well, that's legislation. We'll enforce legislation if, you know, there's certain legislation that would be beneficial or more helpful. And the more we can do in that regard, you know, that would be helpful. That's within our constitutional bounds. We could do that. But I would appreciate that kind of an answer. That's fine. That he's encouraging, you know, Congress to act in ways that empower the FBI to do their job. That's no problem with that. But he really doesn't want to comment on specific legislation. I get that. Because it's not the FBI. Yeah, FBI doesn't do that. They just enforce the law. They don't make the law. But that's in its pure standards. That's not the way they do it. They do twist that little rule quite often. But I digress.
Not where it needs to be.
Okay. Here's my second question.
This is where it gets interesting.
We know that Jeffrey Epstein, who is now deceased, and Ms. Maxwell, his associate, who's in prison, were engaged in a
by the way, he didn't kill
conspiracy
himself.
Of sex trafficking with minors. So were others. It's been widely reported.
Oh, my.
What's the FBI doing to investigate the other people that were involved in these sex trafficking rings?
Now, what he's asking him here is, okay, we know that Jeffrey Epstein and his partner were involved in sex trafficking with minors. That's what he's saying. The people he's asking about here are people like the Clintons, Bill Gates, all these other people who visited the island. What about those people? What are we doing? What's this long list of people, clients, the videotapes, all this stuff that's out there? What's happening with that? How many more years is this going to take before we start understanding what's going on with this stuff? This gets into deep stuff right here really quickly. Let's see what he has to say.
Well, I'm not sure that I can.
I'm not sure that I can confirm any specific.
Well, let me put it this way.
I'm not sure that I can confirm anything. I'm not sure. He doesn't say I can't confirm that. He doesn't say, well, it's our policy is we can't come out and say anything about this. I'm not sure I can say anything about this. But this is an interesting way to say this, and he says this quite often, and repeatedly during this particular interchange.
Let me give you some facts, widely reported. Jeffrey Epstein had video surveillance in all of his homes and on his private island. And there have been articles after articles from witnesses who have said he videotaped sex acts with prominent people because he was trying to incur with young girls that he had procured to try to incur favor with those prominent
people. Bribe them.
And potentially to be able to blackmail them.
Blackmail, yes. That's what it was.
Now, that's a fact. And the FBI and other federal agencies have raided his houses. Do you have those tapes?
Again, I can't discuss the specifics of our law enforcement operations related to Mr. Epstein or Ms. Maxwell, but obviously we had very active investigation related to both of them. But whether it extends to other people, I'm not sure that's something
A suit was filed yesterday against one of those prominent people by one of the young women sex trafficked, allegedly, said he was part of the ring. It's on the front page. I don't know. Is this New York Times, Wall Street Journal? And we keep seeing article after article after article. And we keep hearing about prominent person after prominent person after prominent person. I just want to know if these prominent people are above the law and aren't being investigated, or is the FBI investigating them?
Well, no one is above the law.
Oh, no one's above the law.
As to whether specific people are being investigated, that's not something that I, as I'm sure you can appreciate, can engage on here. We've devoted significant resources to the investigation.
Is it ongoing?
I'm not sure there's anything I can share with you on that, but let me see if we can get back to you and provide a little more.
I don't know if we can share anything about that. I'm not sure we can share about that. See, this is the problem here. He continues to say this kind of thing. Oh, I'm not sure if we can say anything about that. I'll get back with you on that. Oh, you're going to make a phone call later when it's not in public? This is the American people asking this question. This isn't Kennedy asking these questions. This is the representative of the people asking this question. Answer the question. This is the frustrating part of this whole thing is these people aren't accountable to anybody. And the reason he brought up that whole thing about the new building is because they're funded very well. They love talking about that new building. Where are we going to put that new building? Oh, I got the new building coming up. Well, that's what we need. We need, you know, an $80 billion new building. I guess it's $1 billion. Whatever it is, $800 million, whatever it is they're paying for that stupid thing. Just for the building, not for everything goes in it.
Yeah, it
doesn't include the doorknobs.
Y'all read the article.
It'll trigger your gag reflex. Is the FBI going to investigate that?
Well, I haven't seen the article, but I would be happy to take a look at it and take it back and see if it's part of something.
I just like to know.
This is the director of the FBI. Has no idea. He doesn't know if he can say anything, and he'll take it back and see if there's anything going on with it because you know he's too busy. I don't know, playing cards. I don't know what he's doing every day. These big, high-profile cases, apparently, he doesn't have anything to do with those. So I just, you know, because he's not sure. He's only the FBI director. He's not
investigating this, or are these prominent people going
to
go?
I have to talk to James Comey to find out whether I can say anything.
I'm not sure that I can tell you whether or not there is ongoing work being devoted to this. I would be happy to take a look at the specific article. I share your disgust.
Discussed? Yeah, says it like a question. Understand
the whole operation.
Okay. Thanks, Madam Chair. Sorry, Martin. You're a fine American.
Now,
anyway.
One of the things that
thank you, Senator Kennedy.
Okay, whatever. Blah blah blah. Another person that was getting grilled was Merrick Garland. And he's asked these questions about whether or not the transcripts have been the transcripts of Joe Biden. So Joe Biden gets interviewed by Officer Herr, which is, I think he's an FBI agent, in this investigation of the laptop and all the other stuff that was going on. And his conclusion was, the general basic conclusion was, Joe Biden is a well-meaning, doddering old man who probably wouldn't be able to get a conviction in front of a jury because he's... The jury would be sympathetic of him because he can't remember anything and he can't really stand trial, in other words. So we're going to let him off the hook. So he asked him a question. He goes, they said, I think it was Gates was asking him this question. And of course, he goes on to this with this thing and he says talks about how. Garland stands up for him, basically, and says, well, no, that wasn't the only reason he gave. There were other reasons. Oh, who is this guy? This isn't Gates. Oh, no, it is Matt Gaetz. Let's just go into this a little bit. This is,
Chairman,
Mr. see what he has to say.
General, the reality is, Mr. Herr, special counsel.
I'm going to put this back to 1.25 because it's just too slow.
Then former Vice President, President Biden.
This isn't Matt Gaetz, though. This is
disclosed classified information. Isn't that true?
Biggs.
Mr. Herr
excuse Biggs.
A long report.
Isn't that true? I mean, come on. I'm practically quoting right from it. You wouldn't disagree with that
disagree
assessment.
With I'm not going to comment on his report. He sets forth. I appointed him to investigate
right,
the allegations about classified documents.
Notice how he gets snippy. This is something very important about Garland you need to understand. There's a lot of contempt in this man. And it comes through in his voice. I hear it. It's like a ringing bell. This guy is still upset. He did not get nominated as a. Which I think they will probably put him in anyway, but maybe not as a Supreme Court judge. He got pushed back during Obama's last term. The Senate decided not to confirm him. We didn't bring it forward because it was his last year in office, and there was like, no, you can't. You don't get to do that. I don't know when this rule started going into place. So, I'm glad the guy didn't get in. Like, holy cow. We dodged a bullet on this one. This guy's a mess. He's a total left-wing hack. And here he is as the attorney general, just following orders. And it's easy for him to follow orders in this case because he has a vendetta. And it comes through clearly in his voice, in my opinion. So here's Biggs questioning him more. And you'll see how he's a deflector. Lessons from Director Ray. Deflector Ray.
That is what Mr. Herr found. And then he also found, and you're not going to like this because I'm going to quote from it, from this. He basically says here that he found Mr. Biden to be sympathetic and, here he is, a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. And so he made a prosecutorial decision that he wasn't going to prosecute. Are you going to dispute that? You're not disputing that, are you?
Hers. Report.
Okay, you're going to say it stands on its own. Okay, sorry. So it stands on its own. No, because you're not intent on answering. You want to be non-responsive. You want to filibuster.
I'd like to answer your question.
Do you dispute that? So let's just face it. Mr. Biden has not been prosecuted, correct?
That's correct.
And the rationale given by Mr. Herr is because he was a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, and he thought the jury would have sympathy towards Mr. Biden.
That was one of a long list of reasons that Mr. Herr gave.
One of a long list of reasons. Now, catch this that Biggs says. Listen to what he says.
Give me one more reason.
He found that. I don't want to get into a discussion about this, but
it's a long list. It's just a long list.
One of them was that the president was completely cooperative in this matter.
He was completely cooperative because he was caught. He fessed up right away. Therefore, we're not going to prosecute him. Hey, did you kill Joe Smith? Yeah. Okay, then since you're being cooperative and you confess right away, we're not going to prosecute you. Okay, good. Thanks. I'll just go on doing what I was doing. How long did you have Joe Smith's body in your basement there? Well, I had him in my refrigerator next to my Corvette in the garage. I knew he was there. I had a couple other bodies stashed a couple other places as well. And I knew that was there, but I didn't, now that I've been caught, now that we found that somebody else found out about it. Now, right away, we're going to return this. Oh, here's his body. Oh, yeah, I'm going to cooperate fully now. Oh, okay, then you're off the hook. Wait a minute. You put something wrong in your ledger? You're a felon.
That's the reason, huh? Okay, all right.
The issue
that we have here, you don't want
to... It's a long list of reasons.
You don't want us to have the recording. But ultimately, the issue is whether the transcript actually supports the special counsel's determination. Now, your office has basically pled two things in court, claiming, number one, executive privilege, and number two, this kind of interesting novel approach saying fake, deep fakes, AI, right? Did your staffer who filed that consult with you about the deep fake AI rationale for not providing the audio to us?
Mischaracterizing the filing. That was one of a substantial number of arguments made in a Freedom of Information.
They consult with you specifically.
Boy, he is so bitter. Such a bitter
idea,
man.
That notion where they were going to say something like, quote, this is from the pleading. The passage of time and advancements in audio artificial intelligence and deepfake technologies only amplify concerns about malicious manipulation of audio files, close quote. Did they consult with you about that provision?
I'm not going to talk about internal department deliberations. See, that was one of a large number of explanations in the document you're talking about.
And I'm talking specifically about that particularized rationale. And you don't want to discuss it, which is why you're non-responsive. And that's why we need the audio. Now, let me explain why. Because your attorney also said that you did alter the transcript. And they said it was filler words, repeat words, and, I. But you know what? We don't know whether the blank, you said there were.
This is the point. We don't know what the daughter, we need to understand what his performance was. They just put down the content. They didn't put down everything else and his performance in that. And this is where they're covering this whole thing up. And this is the most disgusting thing about the whole thing, in my opinion. He can sit there and dotter around and go, well, but no, what was it? Turned into national depression, one word. Yes. Oh, well, he answered yes. Transcript just says he answered yes. This is the problem. This is what this guy's trying to get at. Well, we can't release the audio because it could be conceived as or used as a deep fake. Oh, really? Just so Joe Biden talking. Anyway, so he can't make any speeches. He can't do anything public. He can't say anything public at all because if it's, you know, it could be used as an AI deep fake. So somebody could malign it and use something. Well, I can't answer that question. I can't do this. Can't do that. Talk about that. I can't, this guy just, there's no end to these people. There's no accountability. And this is, I think this is what it gets so frustrating here is, oh, we can't answer those questions. We can't talk about internal investigations. We can't talk about internal matters or procedures. Really? So you can't, the FBI cannot talk about their internal procedures because what? Well, sources and methods and blah, blah, blah. And who's that going to hurt? If the American people know what's going on in the FBI, how is that going to hurt anybody? Well, then you guys will know what's going on. Oh. So it hurts you. It hurts the FBI. Makes you do a better job. It's what's called accountability. That's why you can't get away with all the slimy, squeezly crap with all the FISA court stuff and all that other junk that you're doing. That's what's happening here. My blood pressure's going up. I can tell. I'm pretty sure. Wait. Hold on. We just went right back down. It's amazing how that works. So I have we have this stuff going on, and it's one of those things where, and of course Fauci got interviewed as well. Fauci's on the hot seat right now. Dr. John Campbell had a really interesting. I'm going to close with this. Dr. John Campbell had a really interesting article. Apparently, it's a bombshell because of who published it and because of the way it came out. I guess it's peer-reviewed finding study type thing. It's one of these official type statements being made that excess deaths, and I don't know if you've heard about this, excess deaths, there's about, I think in this country, there's over a million. The statistics normally after a pandemic I'm going to say it this way. It's kind of disgusting, but it culls the herd. In other words, the it takes out the weaker people. People die sooner than they should have. All these people who were dying early, so we had all this abnormal death rate because of COVID. So the death rate went up during COVID. We have this normal standard death rate that's based on a certain level based on the population percentage. They track this stuff. It's kind of always goes the same. And of course, some years are higher than others, but then it goes, it equalizes out to a normal standard. And you can kind of see weird spikes in different things and increases in certain times of after certain years because of certain food products being introduced into the environment. But at the same time, and then of course, then there's years where death rate goes down because of, better medicine, better care, whatever it is. Better nutrition, those kinds of things. So they track these things, and they kind of stay on a normal curve. What's happened now since COVID, you would expect the death rates to go down for a period of time. They went up, so we had this abnormal number of people dying. And afterwards, you should have a slack time where there's this, it's a caboose effect. You have this decrease in the normal number, the average number of deaths. That has not happened. There are a lot of people blaming COVID for that. Well, it's long COVID. It's all this other COVID stuff. It's still COVID. It's because all these people that are. Well, it was people who didn't go in to get treatment because of COVID, they couldn't go in to get their regular treatment. They couldn't find cancer soon. No, those days are over. The time period for that is over. We still have excess deaths. The study finds that's the vaccine. All of the statistics, all of the analysis points to the vaccines as being the reason for all these. It's a highly contributable factor in the excess deaths, and the types of deaths that are happening seem to be affected because of what happened with the vaccine. There are some vaccines now that have been banned very quietly in other countries. Some manufacturers are no longer allowed to, they won't even take certain products. I don't know if it's J&J or if it's Moderna, whoever it is. The entire type of vaccine has been banned. It's very troubling because we were, because they're pushing this thing, trying to force everybody to take this thing. If they could have, they would have. Let's just put it that way. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Now think about this. You weren't allowed to go on an airplane because you would endanger people who were vaccinated. You're putting people who have been vaccinated, you're putting the vaccinated people who've gone out and got vaccinated, now you're putting them at risk. How does that work? So you're wearing a life jacket, I'm not. Because I'm not wearing a life jacket, you're now at risk. I do not understand that. If you're vaccinated, then you're only safe around other vaccinated people? How does that work? And another major study, which I am proud to talk about, came out and said that natural immunity was shown. They did a very extensive study on this now. A highly regarded study. I don't have the information in front of me because I'm an idiot. I don't do that stuff. I don't put. All I'm going to tell you is what's out there. You just have to trust me on this. Maybe you don't. That's fine. Natural immunity. Those who had COVID did not have the vaccine. Have had fewer issues. Have had COVID less. And have not had any long-term effects from COVID itself. Those who've had COVID and then had the vaccine, there's all these different categories. Those who didn't know they had COVID or didn't know they did. They may have been asymptomatic, never knew they had COVID. They also, that's a category where they've been also vaccinated. And there are those who have not been vaccinated who've never had COVID or don't know that they've had COVID. So there's all these different categories. And it's interesting to see that the studies now show that the natural immunity was more effective than the actual vaccine. And Fauci himself and everybody else, now that the study also shows that regardless of whether or not you are vaccinated or not, you can still carry the COVID virus just as much, just as easily transmit it to everybody else, even though you're vaccinated. Which goes against everything we were being told by people like Rachel Maddow, who's not a doctor, who just had this. Yep, you get the vaccine and you're done. Oh, you get the vaccine. I could play this stuff over and over. We ad nauseum. Nobody wants to talk about COVID anymore. We're done with that. By the way, there's a bird flu coming. Some kind of strain that's jumped over into humans. And so be prepared. Because November, I'm sure it's going to affect your voting ability on November 5th this year. And there's these giant spiders, venomous spiders that are going to attack the Northeast. They can parachute down out of the sky. And they have huge, long legs, half inch long. I think most of our spiders here have. I'm trying to think of a spider that doesn't have a half inch long leg. I just saw one crawling around the garage that was. I think his whiskers were half inch long. what's, I don't know, they're venomous. And they only attack you in the voting booth if you vote for Donald Trump. It's out of control, folks. And the thing that really kind of is disturbing about this whole thing. Oh, by the way, there was somebody testified in court now. This Hunter Biden. There are some interesting things happening with the Hunter Biden case. One of them is that this FBI agent was basically roped into, forced into. They didn't have the deflector ray training. Apparently, had to admit that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. That it's not a disinformation campaign from the Russian government. It is real. It is official. So there you go. This is what we deal with here every day at the News According to Me. It's the kind of things that don't keep me up at night, because I trust in God. So you have to have an ability to see things realistically, to live in the real world. You know, I'm not a glass half empty, half full guy. I believe the glass is full. It's half full of water and it's half full of air. I'm a realist. There you go. That's the way I see it. This is the way I see it. And this is the way we see it here on the News According to Me. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your week. I will be here tomorrow with a bigger show, bigger and better every day. God bless.